This is WBAI in New York and the March report to the listener, and we're going to take a few of your phone calls. The phone number here is area code 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900, and it does appear that some of you are calling. In fact, it appears that some of you have been calling for quite a while now. Let's see what we have. Okay, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
You hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I'm a long-time listener and supporter of BAI, and unfortunately, during the 13 months, I felt like I was locked out of the station. And I went to the protests. I did, I did the whole nine yards. And I'm really happy that the station is back to what I hoped, what I enjoyed in the past. But I have certain concerns. Obviously, you spoke about some of them, but the main one is that some of the collaborators of the December coup are now enjoying a vast amount of time on the air. And I'm really dissatisfied about this. I know that you're trying to do whatever you have to do, but there's certain players in there who have no business being there based on the damage that they did over those 13 months and the support they gave Utrice Lead. I'll just name them. I have questions about... I'll start right off.
You don't really have to name them. I think we have an idea of who you're talking about. However, we... one of the things that we did not want to do was to just come in and begin to bash heads and approach the schedule and folks' participation the way it was done before we were, when we were dismissed or locked out.
Well, Bernard, with all due respect, your head was bashed in, and Sharon Hop, Sharon Louise, and Janice Kay, I mean, they were given no courtesy whatsoever. And I'm not saying that you should do the same thing, but there shouldn't be somebody like the afternoon programming, which is sometimes it's a good show. Most times, in my opinion, it's not. And it's an awful lot of time to give somebody to just lather around. And really, you and, for example, Amy Goodman, who's been knocked about quite a bit by the old regime, who I have the utmost respect for, in 1 hour, she provides so much information. Every single minute of her show is worth something. And I never want to miss that show. Your morning show, you don't have a lot of time. The amount of people you can cram in there and the information you folks can give on the morning show is incredible. And I'd like to see an afternoon show where there's so much time like that, used as wisely. I mean, we can't play around with this airtime right now in the face of all these wars and rumors of wars and God knows what is going on in this country. Oh. And I think you'll agree with me.
Well, I do agree with you that airtime is very valuable. And as I said, we're going to take a look at all of our BAI's airtime and see how we can best distribute it. So continue to listen, and there will... just continue to listen.
Yeah, I really have an issue with people being given so much time. Somebody just said, I think it was Valerie, you mentioned the diverse community that we have here, and that we wouldn't have enough hours of the day if we wanted to give every section of this metropolitan community airtime. But in the same vein, then, why should you give the one guy, I mean, who's really, really backed that coup, who stood there when Utrice was saying terrible things about us who are on the outside, some of you, and really making no progress, in that radio station. Why should he have this much time? What if you need to have Caribbean folk? There's plenty of Caribbean folk. If you need to have Arabs, Reem can stand in for the Arab show. I get more information from her when she hosts the... In fact, let me tell you something. I get more information about the Palestinians from you, Bernard, than I ever got from Barbara Numbriazis. I mean, I think, like Matthew said, who I'm not such a good, big fan of Matthew, because he was one of the collaborators. He's the one who said, we should look at our programming. Yes, we should. We should look at it and make it better. Better than the corporate. And we can, and we do. You do it every day. I listen to you every single day. And contrary to what Matthew says, I happen to like you. And I also listen to you. All right? It's not... Don't give me that you treat stuff about... We don't care about who's behind the mic. We do care. We do care how, the positions they take. We do care. It's a community radio station. They are part of community as we are part of their community.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that call. You know, one of the tragedies of what took place here is that many people were thrown into certain positions, and you know, folks had to make hard decisions. Either they would walk out and not be able to pay their rent, clothe their children, send their children off to school, or they would stay and try and ride it out. And I don't think we can just say that everyone that was here was a collaborator. There are some people who, in their minds, were trying to hold the ship together. So perhaps we can move on to the next call, not unless you wanted to say no.
Right, and I really want to speak to that about the deep respect that I have for colleagues who really held the mission in mind, who saw the tremendous value of WBAI, who, you know, held on with the fingernails through what they themselves have said was a hellish time. I have the deepest respect for them and, you know, honor the contributions that they made and that they tried to make through a horrible time here. But we're moving past that now because we must. Those who, you know, live in the past will be condemned to just repeat over and over again. We have a mission here, and we've got to move on to the great things that WBAI can do. And let's go on to the next call.
And you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, my name is Clarence. I'm a listener. I'm calling to see, I'm glad that y'all are back on the station. I would like to know, I know that the radio is no longer on Monday nights, but I'd like to find out when and if it will come back on. I think there's a lot of people that like the show and appreciate the show, and I would just like to see that come back on because I think it was very progressive. Thank you, and I'll listen to you on the air.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you. Well, the long story of Eradio. Eradio was one of the, this is Matthew speaking, one of the programs that after 9/11, when our music people went missing, not all of whom have been able to return at this point, but as you heard Bernard White, our program director, say, they will. The strip, the music strip, will be restored, and we're hoping to get that done in an efficient and fair way fairly soon. I was put into a position where I had to try to scramble to keep those voices on the air, to keep Peter Beauchamp on the air, to keep Andrea Clark on the air. Eradio began because we had a vacancy Monday at midnight. Carletta Joy Walker, who had been doing Heart Time for years on that slot, stepped away, and Anastasia moved into that slot to do a pilot of a program that I found very interesting. But as a new program, when you're going to be daring, you're going to rub people the wrong way. And I would certainly like to hear the topic addressed and like to see what she might do with it, because we were checking pretty much on a weekly basis to try to vet the program and see where the lines were, where you were just getting a little too out there for our audience, although not for individuals. She will be back in New York in a few weeks. She has other options out there, and we haven't closed any doors, but we have to look at the entire overnight. And I would just a lot of people wrote their support for that program. A lot of people wrote their lack of support for that program, but something was going on. That's what I can tell you. And I at least honor the work of that producer, and I wouldn't close the door.
Nora, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm calling because I'm a longtime supporter of BAI, and I have been donating for about 19, 20 years. And what I'm concerned about is the last drive you had before this last one, I personally donated about $650, and I haven't gotten the premiums. I'm just curious as to, I've called several times, nobody's returned my messages. So I kind of wondered what's going on with that.
Well, one thing, and there's been a change in the premium department, and we are a bit understaffed in there right now, so there's a real backlog in calls. The other thing is that we are trying to go through now and determine just what premiums are still outstanding. There were a lot of things that were offered, and there was absolutely no work done on preparing them to go out. So we're trying to identify just what those premiums are. And then once we've done that, we want to see whether any of the material is here so that the premiums can be produced. If they're not produced, then we want to contact all of the people who gave money and see if there is any alternative that we can provide for them. We inherited this problem. There was a whole year where promises were made that went unfulfilled. Now we're trying to deconstruct the confusion and figure out just what it is that we can do to satisfy our listeners.
Yeah, I understand the problem. That's why I've waited a while to see, just how things will develop. I did receive the baby boomer from Gary Knowles, but that's the only thing I received so far.
Well, we really appreciate your patience, and when we returned here, and it's really not 3 months, it's 2 months, about 7-8 weeks, there was a massive swamp of unfulfilled premiums, unfulfilled promises. And we have really been trying to address that day after day. We thank you very much for your patience. And for many, we've sent out a patience gift. But for some, in reviewing the records here, the few records that exist, we will have to, in some cases, send substitutes. In some cases, people have asked for a refund. Your patience has been marvelous. We appreciate that. We are trying to unravel that matter and get us back on track. It's going to take a bit more time. The other problem was that for 9-10 months, the bills were not paid, and therefore the creditors would not extend credit, and therefore orders could not be negotiated.
I understand. I would listen to WBI every day. So
right.
Well, I know exactly what's going on.
Right.
I just was curious as to when this issue would be resolved.
Well, caller, can I ask?
We're trying to resolve it now.
The bulk of those things that you pledged for, were they, as you recall, were they tapes of speeches?
Well, it was the Durbin tapes, and it was the Pathologizing Blacks by Gary Noel, and the Durbin tapes.
Okay.
And the baby boomer.
Okay.
We're halfway there because I know where some of this stuff is.
We're two-thirds of the way there because one of the orders we were just able to fulfill, and you should get that. For one, we are going to have to work out the substitutions because that material, as far as we are able to determine, will not be available perhaps ever. And we will do all that we can to satisfy our listeners and members, either with a substitute or we will. If you request it, we will also work out refunds.
Okay, I got one other thing. The lady that called that was criticizing all of the other people that be on the... I know exactly which periods of time she's talking about, like from three to five weekdays on Thursday up to Thursday, and then some of the other guys. I think that their programming is excellent, and I listen to them almost every day. And I know that there's a problem, but I think these things can be worked out, and I personally wouldn't like to see these programs taken off the air.
Thank you.
Okay,
if I could just add one other thing to this issue that you raised about the premiums. I think it's a really good example of what the station is dealing with, and the other stations as well, that this issue of the premiums sheds light on three levels of this. One is cleaning up problems from the past, really finding out what the problems were, where the weaknesses were, and cleaning up the mess that was created by those problems. Two is maintaining the day-to-day function of this station. It was just a drive and dealing with that drive, getting radio. You know, I'm sure the plans are beginning to be put into place for the next fund drive. You know, dealing with the day-to-day operations. And then third, looking into the future. How do we evaluate what kind of premiums we give, and how do we set systems to deliver those premiums in an orderly, quick way? So this station is really, this is just one example of how the station is challenged to function on three levels all at the same time, cleaning up the past, dealing with the day-to-day reality, and planning for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent analysis. That's exactly what we have to do, Leslie.
And we've made some progress in that. We've been talking about getting someone in who can begin to finalize a lot of this stuff and also maintain some quality control, because getting a premium is only a part of it. You want to be able to use it once you get it.
Right.
Okay, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, let me turn down my radio.
Okay.
It's been a palpable difference that I've perceived in the past few weeks than a year ago, so I'm very pleased at what has happened. I've been most impressed by the number and variety of voices that have been brought to bear during the wake-up call program. And that structure may allow for addressing what I have felt has been a void for many, many years, and that is a lack of dealing with the structure of the New York City economy. There's been more discussion, I felt, on the role of the IMF and the World Bank than there has been to analyze what's happening in New York City in relation to tax structures, our real estate holdings, and particularly at a time when we are confronting such massive budget cuts. I've really longed for information of that sort which can answer the question that's so essential to activists as to where the money should come from. And what I find in Wake Up Call that might be helpful is the programming that's been organized by the folks from the Same Boat Coalition.
Well, funny you should mention that, because they are going to be doing a regular program in City Watch, and those are some of the issues that they're going to take a look at. What is happening in the city? How is the city constructed? Where is the power? How can that power be affected to bring about positive social change? And they're going to be doing that on a more regular basis.
Good. Well, I will welcome that. I think that some of the information put out by an organization, say the City Project, leads towards that. But as I was out today petitioning against school budget cuts, the question always comes, well, where's the money going to come from? There's a $4.5 billion deficit. And unless we can begin to provide some answers regarding the discrepancies in property tax rates for single-family homes versus multiple dwellings, the way in which large nonprofit, so-called nonprofit institutions don't pay their fair share in this city, it really handicaps us. I would look forward to not only that time slot addressing it, but other times, evenings as well, when people in the mornings are not able to listen. So it's been a void, I think, for a long time, and I look forward to those issues really being addressed at this so critical juncture.
Okay, and thank you very much for that. Let's see. BAI, you're on the air.
Turn off the radio. Yes, turn that. Okay,
sorry
to hurt your ears. Yes, congratulations. It's a fine report and good to hear you all together there.
Thank you.
And I do want to get into a couple of things. First, you mentioned the classical music compared to WQXR,
mm-hmm.
right? And Bernard, and I take a little concern there, because I think that the programs we do have in that area are pace setters, and they're on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
The opera program, I don't much listen to that, but I know it's they bring in their own records. It's different than other opera programs, and some good talk with it. I do catch a little bit of it, but the one that is very popular, has been around a long time, of course, is Here of a Sunday Morning with Chris Wendt, and he does take phone calls off the air, and a lot of phone calls.
He also, Colley, he also opened his program on Sunday with, I thought, one of the most quietly passionate defenses of music as intellectual pursuit that I've ever heard.
Mm, yes, Yes, I recall. And once in calling him off the air, I said that I told somebody who called for fundraising once that Chris's program was, since we talk about exposés and things, he does exposés from the 9th to the 16th century, and that area needs to be covered.
Yes.
No one else covering it. And so I just put that in there. It's different than QXR. One of the things about QXR is, I know I'm on QXR when I recognize the music every time.
Right.
But that is the nature of so much of commercial, right. All of commercial radio, let's be honest.
Well, it's a safety blanket. You know, it's nice to have that available, I guess. Mm-hmm. And with NYC cutting back on the classical, why we have to attend to that to some degree. Mm-hmm. So the other thing is new ideas. Actually, Gary Noel brought this up once, and he's not doing it per se. He's taken in ideas for his program, but he also had brought up at one time and I think it's useful, and I spoke with you about it, Bernard. There are a lot of listeners out there, listener sponsors, I would have to say, who are advocates and creative producers, and maybe they could, it may be a bit of doing because it means somebody has to be around to check this stuff. Maybe a team of volunteers could do this, but send in half-hour things that, or 27-minute, 28-minute things that could be played as new, to present ideas in different ways, and maybe there could be one half-hour spots, maybe back-to-back, two of them once a week, eventually.
Okay. What did I say when you told me before?
Oh, you were so tired, I didn't want to push on you. I felt it. By that time, I had a couple of ideas. By that time, I thought I was beating you up, so I backed off.
I just wanted to be consistent.
So I did bring this up. I brought this up with Amy at one time. I brought it up with others, and Amy did work on it very nicely. One of my last communications with Samori, my last communication with Samori, was on the evening before he did not return, and he sounded. I worry when I hear you sound like that, but that's what Samori sounds like. And I said I didn't want to trouble him too much, and I just wanted to bring in this particular thing about the huge amounts of phone and fax contacts that are announced on the radio, and they're just announced in such ways that it really numbs people, a lot of people. And you'd have to be sitting with a pen and paper in your hand and writing shorthand.
Yeah.
And we talked about it a minute, and he perked up suddenly. He said, that's an interesting thing to work on. I'm going to do that. Unfortunately, didn't return.
Well, Michael G. and I have been having meetings all week and trying to figure out just how we can begin to make those announcements, because we got a lot of them, make them more than once a day and have them, have people prepared so when they'll know. And not that a bell would go off or anything, but so that they will know that now's the time to get your pen and pencil and get ready to copy down.
You're going to have to deal with your sources, too, for two reasons. On one of the programs, which I won't mention, who gives information, three times I tried, and the numbers, well, one was not operative, one was in Canada for the people who were being assaulted in Quebec during those demonstrations, I think it was, and it took me 2 hours to get to the right people to call, in the process of which I did follow up in the various Quebec and other agencies. But I think people giving phone numbers like that need to check the phone numbers first.
Good suggestion.
If they're doing
The other idea is that obviously this will not meet everybody's needs, but this raises in my mind the potential interface between what goes on over the air and the use of the website.
Yes, it does.
And then people can be referred throughout the day to the website, especially if the website gets daily updates on announcements. So there's a whole announcement section where people can at their leisure go and get the information about an activity, about an organization, get the phone number, get a link to that site, that organization site, whatever. Now, obviously that won't meet everybody's needs.
Yeah.
Not everybody has that kind of access, but more and more people do, and I think this is something that we need to further increase, is the relationship between what we do here in studios and the on air work that gets done, and the other types of ways that we can interface with the community.
Who am I talking with?
That's Leslie Kagan.
Is this Valerie?
Yes, now it's Valerie.
No, Valerie, hi.
Hi. It's good to talk to you, and I just want to follow up on that. We recaptured our website back in late January, and so it was ready for the February drive, and we received over almost $5,000 in pledges on that website.
Mm.
We have an e-news letter on it. We have events and some of the community events we want to talk about on this broadcast, and that's the kind of thing that comes right out of the discussions that we have been having and the kind of reorganization we are engaged in right now at WBAI, where if we had the funding, and we need it, for an IT person, information technology person, who would also work on our website, we could get those updates daily, on the hour. That is something we're going to work toward, and we're in the process of that very positive path right now. It's coming.
Well, I'm talking from this end. I've committed myself with all the stuff I'm doing to learning how to use a computer this year.
Okay.
And I've had a couple of frustrated people offer me to give me one. I would only sit down and learn to use it. So I'm going to try to do that. I do most of what I do by telephone, and I have to bother people to get stuff straight. But I'm particularly concerned. In one of the a week ago, the Schoenbrunns,
Schoenmann,
which was so interesting. Somehow at the end of their program, with other announcements, I counted 130 digits within a matter of 3 minutes, and it was. I think it was their. I'm not sure. Maybe. Oh no. That was the new program, the new one-hour program, I think it was on in the morning. I forgot what that was about now.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new.
Oh, that was the Digits program. Yes, that's it's a program about numbers. And
about Digits.
No, yeah.
Must have been.
Yeah.
But the only time they stopped to give it twice was to give their own reference number.
Okay.
And business. And I think that people need to learn how to do this, and I will give my guideline once and then finish with this. It's a little bit of yoga helps. Three digits breath, 4 digits pause.
Okay.
Blah blah blah
okay,
blah.
You
got about 3 or 5 seconds, then repeat.
All right. Would you do me one favor though? Once you get your computer and learn how to navigate around with it. Would you also teach David Rothenberg?
So he won't. He won't have to be so frantic when he comes on.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, and you are listening to WBAI in New York, the March report to the listener, and you're on the air.
Hi, Bernard.
Hi there.
Hi, this is Joe from Astoria. I have a little cold. I may be a little hoarse. Just further to the last conversation. It's just kind of what I was holding on for so long. I've been listening to BI many years, and the one good thing about the interim people that you had who took over the station, the one good thing about them was that as the program wasn't as substantive and it wasn't as dense, I wasn't constantly running around with a paper and a piece of pencil to try and get down website numbers and then running around and getting addresses and... So and now that you're back and the programming is getting dense and the information is getting substantive and it's it's always can't say elevating, but sometimes it's so much information that you don't know really what to do with it. It's like you get information overload. And my thought was kind of... piggyback to the fellow who just called about having the information kind of codified someplace where either maybe 1 half-hour a week that websites are given out that people want to hear or who to call, what the telephone numbers are. And I was thinking maybe even, I know I've been listening to BAI for at least 15 years, and maybe I've gone to several rallies, and maybe I've written 3 letters. And I think, maybe I'm a little bit passive in that regard. But if if I knew there was a march and there was going to be somebody from BAI there coordinating BAI people, and you know, people are social, and I would feel maybe more motivated to go to these rallies. I'm just thinking maybe there could be a desk there for someone who would coordinate, and also in as part of the march, writing placards with all the information that, 500,000 Iraqi children have been killed because of the ban against trading with them. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm sorry, Bruno, but I'm that this station certainly puts out the information on demonstrations.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
But I think, aside from issues of taking back the station, I think there are some fairly strict rules about our sponsorship or endorsement. It may not always sound that way, but there are some very strict rules that we have to obey. So the idea that the BAI would somehow have a contingent of marchers at a demonstration, I'm not sure if that's exactly kosher. We certainly cover it. We can certainly send people there. You see, there is the distinction. I mean, we are, to some degree, supposed to be sort of arm's length to a lot of these political issues, even though we cover them.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Is that because there's so many different opinions about a particular issue that you don't want to seem to be standing up for just one position?
I think that's the FCC.
Yeah. And we
was it an FCC ruling?
We provide you with the information, and then you make the choice.
You make the choice, right. Right. We were a media organization, but a very special one. I must say our history speaks to an activist media organization, an activist, a participatory journalistic agency. That's one of the reasons Blue Hill began Pacifica originally.
I do think, though, that this does raise serious questions.
It does.
And this is a debate that needs to happen thoroughly and carefully and deliberately. It's not something we should rush through. I know there are examples here in New York at WBAI. Paul Gorman in the mid-80s did a show, I think it was Saturday mornings, and there was a period of months where he talked most focused way about the crisis of homelessness in the city, and through his radio show helped mobilize a movement around homelessness in the city. Obviously, it wasn't only because of that show. So that, you know, that raises an interesting set of questions about radio as an activist medium. And I think that this is something, again, that hopefully the listener groups, the local advisory board, as well as on air, that people will be talking about these issues and trying to understand that relationship when we are a radio station and a radio network that has a mission, that is committed to social justice. How do we use the airwaves in a way that is respectful of the many communities out there, that shares information, but also understands that people will use that information in different ways? And again, like everything else, there's no magic formula on this. We do need to encourage more debate and discussion, though.
Well, Leslie, if I could just chime in. This is Michael G. Haskins. You just mentioned Paul Gorman's name, and I was a listener in the mid-80s, and I came to this station through Paul Gorman and certainly Bernard White and a number of other individuals. But the program that you were talking about, it impacted upon me in a real specific way. I was driving a bus over in New Jersey at that period of time, and because of the programming that came on every Saturday, listening to his program and his plea for help for the homeless, mm-hmm. and bringing whatever goods you could, clothing and so on, because it was a real tough time at that period of time as it is now, that I tried to get in contact with him to donate the services of not the bus company, but the bus that I was going to rent for him. But, you know, as I told this story to Fred Hershkowitz yesterday, that it was in the beginning stages of it, and there was just so much information that was coming in. So many people were calling to volunteer their help and support that we never could hook up. But I just wanted to make mention of that. The history is there, and the community for me, certainly, has been and continues to be here at WBAI.
Right. Right. I think it's like Amy Goodman says, she says so much truth in such a powerful way. Go to where the silence is.
Mm-hmm.
And the silence was about homelessness at that time.
Yes.
And Paul shined the light on it.
Mm-hmm.
That is being not only a person of conscience and principle, but also is acting as a catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
And a movement like a magnet just developed around that. That is, in my view, part of the mission of Community Radio, and especially part of Pacifica.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of announcements as we are moving on to this report that you know, we cannot fail to pay attention to. And one of them is the next local advisory board meeting, which is coming up April 8th. It's going to be at 75 Varick Street at 6:30. This information will be at our front desk, so just call here or also listen for announcements. And tomorrow, Saturday, March 23rd, there's going to be a fundraiser by our friends in New Jersey. And this is a group of about six different organizations, nonprofits, progressive organizations, for a WBAI victory dance. It's going to be in Montclair, and Michael will play a card hopefully at the end of the program about that. The Friends in Long Island, the Long Island Concerned Friends, the Long Island Alliance for Peaceful Alternatives, the Fannie Lou Hamer Political Action Committee, and several others are also sponsoring a victory celebration for WBAI on Saturday, March 30th, at the Ethical Humanist Society in Garden City. And the information is at our front desk. You can call there or call 631-266-1966. This is stellar.
What's that number again?
Yeah, that number.
The digital world here. 631-266-1966.
Pause.
Yes.
Okay.
And Michael Haskins and Bernard and Amy will be part of a special event coming up on Easter Sunday at 55 Bar, located at 55 Christopher Street. It's about and going to feature David Amram, and it's going to be from Cairo to Kerouac. I'm sure it's going to be a marvelous afternoon. And I think there's a cart ready for that, so we can do that after the program. We just want to make sure people are aware about the incredible number of activities and the energy of the listener movement that is still continuing here. And most of these are fundraisers for the station. So once again, a million thanks for the support that you continue to give to WBAI.
Okay.
And actually, by the way, for those of you who pledged in the last fund drive, who again want to really thank everybody who made those pledges, and thank all of you who sent in your money and fulfilled those pledges. But the few of you who haven't done that yet, please remember that the pledge you made is something that the station really is counting on. So it's great that you make a pledge. Just as important, though, and more important, actually, is that you actually then write out that check and drop it in the mail or bring it over to the station.
Also, we maintain the website, which you can make pledges to and order generic premiums.
All the time. Mm-hmm.
That would be www.wbai.org. And there is a way for you to pledge securely online through credit cards at that site.
And certainly, if you'd like, and if you do have that checkbook out right now, and you'd like to make that check out to WBAI, please do so. Pacifica Foundation WBAI Radio, Church Street Station, Post Office Box 11445, New York, New York 10277.
Okay. And also, thanks for the many donations. Hundreds of people gave us, everything from
computer supplies,
computers,
scanners,
to copiers, to
paper clips, pencils,
calculators, pens, crayons, everything. Thank you very much for
Bernard
that.
Bernard loves the crayons, by the way. He's used them all up already.
Okay, so
let's go to the
next
call.
BAI, you're on the air.
Hi, you all. This is Gravel. Thank you all so much for being there. And I do see an improvement in the past few weeks. And I know I yell and moan and groan and everything, but it's family. Don't let anybody else dare talk about BAI. And I'm always telling everybody to listen to BAI. But you are, you know, really progressing, and I'm very happy with that. I have some suggestions. First, and I'd like to address these in particular to Leslie and Valerie. And by the way, Leslie, I wish you'd ask Ralph Shulman to put his shows on tape because the sound quality, you know, some people try to tape these shows and send them off to relatives and other people in other areas that don't hear BAI. And it's so scratchy, you know.
Well, Rebel, if I could, because I was sort of hooking up with Ralph Shulman and Maya Shulman this morning. Generally, they will be working that show through ISDN lines with a pristine sound. On this particular day, they had family obligations, and there was no way for them to do it. We have a pretty solid pledge from both of them that they will do everything they can, and KPFA has been very cooperative of late in trying to make sure that you get clean sound for the Taking Aim program.
Great. Thanks for that. Okay, now regarding Iradio, I have to say the One World Government wants to tear down the morals of this society, and the conditions of the world are such that every second should be used constructively to help solve Earth's problems, especially on BAI. I don't know of any other radio station that could do it at this point and tell the truth. And next, WBAI's history is progressive, and each minute should be on progressive issues. And my viewpoint is that the enemies of BAI want you to fail by playing music. Look at what happened to Texas, or you know, how, you know, or having shows on sports or any program that is not progressive. Other media can handle that stuff. Now, the Carnegie Commission report I heard on Amy's show on Democracy Now! Many years ago, and I would like to, it's just a sentence. It says, the founding documents for public broadcasting state, and this is from the Carnegie Commission report, programming should serve as a forum for controversy and debate and be diverse and provide a voice for groups that may otherwise be unheard. And I feel that that is the mission of BAI. Now, what I would like to see, you know, as far as suggestions, election reform program every weekend done in all phases of reform, you know, locally, statewide, and nationally. Because this, I mean, look what happened in Florida. This is going on in New York and all over the United States. And these programs could be put on instead of the music programs in the afternoon on the weekends. You know, the Sunday morning programs are fine, you know, those two music programs. And music programs, to me, are like Nero fiddling while Rome burned. We have a corrupt government, and we must get election reform in New York State and the country. And Valerie, I gave you a website, GothamGazette.com. Elizabeth Daniel, Hugh Hamilton had her on once. She knows all about election reform and what's going on, and maybe she could even do a weekend program or, you know, get her on for an hour or something, fit her in someplace. Now, next, regarding Hugh Hamilton. Oh, yeah, baby, you know me by now.
Yes,
could you,
yes, we do.
Could you perhaps sing your next point?
What?
The key of G, please. Would you now sing the next point that you want to make?
Regarding Hugh Hamilton.
Hey, that's music. We don't want that, okay?
And Earl Caldwell shows. WBAI subscribers and listeners don't have enough of a voice on WBAI. And if you hear these two programs, it's always, I can never get in, I can never get in. Okay, so there aren't enough open lines for callers. We don't need to be told what issue to discuss because we all have our own issues. And I learn a lot from, you know, from the listeners that call in on different subjects. So I'd like to see the time on Talkback and the Caldwell Chronicles, and I want Earl back. He's a fantastic investigator. To both have 2 hours or an hour and a half of total open lines, and you know, you should stop listening to Arbitron and listen to your subscribers. And for classical music and any other time other than Sunday morning, WQXR FM 99.3, which I listen to from time to time, has classical music 24/7. They cannot do what BAI can do. you know, as far as progressive programming. Next, I'd like to hear a weekend.
Okay, can we comment? Comment on this?
Yeah, sure. Please.
If I may, I'm not a writer, I'm not a poet, I'm not a musician, but just let me say this, and certainly the poets and musicians, they can speak for themselves, mm-hmm. but it is my, in my view, the poets, the writers, the musicians set the stage for the rest of the individuals, the reporters, the journalists, to follow. If you look back in history, I think you'll find that that is true. So
let me also, from me on that. Actually, let me also. This is Leslie Kagan again. I, you know, this debate about whether or not music is appropriate on VAI or other stations. I find it very discouraging. I'm very disheartened by it. It's to me, it should be a given that people are moved. People are motivated. People learn information in lots of different ways. Think of the role of that music played in the civil rights movement in this country. Would there have been a civil rights movement had the music not been part of it?
I think
it's inappropriate or it misses something to assume that the only way to communicate and motivate people and move people is by talking heads. I love to talk. I'm here today talking. I love to hear the ideas that people on the various shows offer. But I think sometimes music can play that role. I know music and other cultural expressions, poetry, theater on radio could be a very, very powerful and motivating and teaching mode. And I think, again, that's one of the challenges that the station has, is to construct 24 hours, 7 days a week programming that is diverse and varied, not only in terms of the communities that it comes from and speaks to, but in the form that the information and the ideas is expressed.
Well, also part of this really, I agree with you. It's a silly debate, but we keep on being brought back to it by various callers. If we're talking about music or poetry, I, for one, do not accept the idea that this material is valuable only in as much as it aids the struggle. The fact is that since the beginning of human history, you do not listen to music through your ears, people. You listen through it through the soles of your feet. There's a woman in Scotland named Evelyn Glennie who is one of the most brilliant and exciting percussionists in the contemporary music field. She is deaf. She is stone deaf. She listens to music through her feet. You do not listen to music through your knees. And this is something we come back to again and again and again. This is also the issue of the gray area, the ambiguity. My goodness, Rebel, I hope you were listening at 2 o'clock when John Dufresne, the novelist, opened with a reading about the difference between science and story. Science is the God you know. Story is the devil you don't. You know, you can, and he talks about the value of the journey. You know, you can go on I-95 from New York to Miami, or you can take the back roads and go through these funky old towns all the way down south, and you'll get there either way, but the journey is something very different if you take the smaller roads. Again, there has to be a hybrid. Rebel, you may call yourself a progressive, but in fact, in some ways, you could sound like a one of these analysts, one of these sort of consultant types. You say, well, it has to be all talk. And by the way, it has to be all talk in English. You know, that narrowing makes us part of the problem, no matter how progressive we might call ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that a lot of times there are other reasons why we don't do things in a particular way, and I think what we have to begin to do, and I'm going to start doing that as quickly as possible, is develop a library, a music library, because many times what people are doing programs, and they don't have the appropriate music for that program, and one of the things that we tried to do at the very institution of the Wake Up Call, and we had a lot of music here. If you wanted to get something if you were doing a program about Vietnam, we had Vietnamese music. If you wanted to do something about the Kekchi Indians in Guatemala. We had music for that. We don't have that now. And we're going to try, and, you know, part of the discussions that we need to have with producers, and we're going to begin to institute those too, is how does one use music with the program? Music quite often can make the point or accentuate the point that was spoken. Just by, you know, playing a little music and giving it some space, and, you know, you wind up walking away with a piece of that program rather than somebody saying, "What were you listening?" That was just something I heard on BAI. It becomes a part of you. It becomes something that changes you, changes your understanding of things. But it comes from the proper use of music. And we're not going to play less music. We're going to see if we can use it more effectively. So thank you very much for your call. Maybe we can slide in one more, and Michael will have some time to play some of these announcements. BAI, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, I hate to be the one bad apple.
Then
but
don't.
No, I'm not, but I hate to be. Listen, in the 13 months, there were some good programs that came on. I'm sorry to say that. I don't want to hurt anybody's feeling or stir up any bad feelings.
We agree with you.
Okay. I love Earl Caldwell's show. Please don't touch that. That is like church for me. The man speaks very real, very powerful. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy his show. I'd like to see something more with the homeless. You have a guy that does guest appearances, Picture the Homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, excellent, because he is homeless. And, if you know, that's just my suggestion. I would also like to say it's not fair, ethically, morally, to strike someone at the knees. You had earlier callers that said, oh, no, they were there for 13 months. They should, you know, be ripped out of the station. Or maybe not in that language, but I don't think that's right either. I mean, if people held their jobs or whatever, but then again, I don't work there, so I can't say. But I'm just saying, you know, be fair. Mm-hmm. Be fair. And that's my opinion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well,
God bless you.
Thank you for it.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Can we slide in one more mic? Okay, one more. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you very much.
Okay.
This is, sure, very refreshing compared to the last reports of the listeners when Utrice Lead was leading the group. Very refreshing. Anyway, I'll get to the point. First of all, Paul Gore, I got back to New York about a year ago. And I didn't hear Paul Gorman. Is Paul Gorman doing okay? Where is he?
He's up at St. John the Divine Church, I think. That's where he had been for many, many years. And he voluntarily left our airwaves after being here for about 23. Tremendous service, interest, wide-ranging, you know, sources that he pulled in, the kind of catalyst that he was around homeless issues and around issues of spirit. And issues of faith and issues of social conscience around the Vietnam War, the civil rights movement. It was almost nothing that one way or another Paul Gorman did not touch.
With him on the radio, he emanated kindness. It was unbelievable.
Yes.
It was beautiful.
That was part of his character.
My next, I remember a song, I remember a show called, I think it was a movable feast.
Tom the Talent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I really miss literary shows on BAI. You know, interviews with authors. Mm-hmm. I think literary shows are very important.
They
broaden the scope.
We have.
What did you do this afternoon?
I don't know. I think I was interviewing another novelist between 2 and 3 on the City in Exile show. Lately, we've been doing a lot of novelists. You can also. David Rothenberg will, on occasion, on his Saturday show. Tony Short, who's doing Person to Person in the Monday night into Tuesday morning, is one of our best readers and interviewers. And, of course, Janet Coleman on Wednesday.
Poison Arts. I love Poison Arts. Oh. My last thing is, I used to hear installments of David Bassam-Yahn's Alternative Radio, which occasionally comes on.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a different city, and I used to listen to that every week. It's an excellent show, and he basically gives the show out for nothing. It doesn't cost anything. And I occasionally on the public, sometimes from 2 to 3, you do get portions of alternative radio. I'd like to hear more of it because I think it's invaluable.
Well, I think we've already returned to that. You heard Helen Calzacott earlier this week. You heard Michael Parenti. David Bassam-Yahn is a good friend of WBAI, and he has granted to share with us some some of his work.
Okay, excellent. I appreciate coming through, and I'm so happy that BAI has returned. I've been listening for about 20 years, maybe a little bit more.
Well, we wish you 20 more. We are coming to a close on this broadcast, and I've been in studio with Leslie Kagan, chair of the Interim Pacifica National Board, and we hope that she will be chair of the board very soon. Matthew Finch, who has been with the station.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Wishing you the best, but also, you know, this is Pacifica, and we know what the advantages and the disadvantages are. Matthew Finch has been here with us, Bernard White, program director. I'm Valerie Van Isler, general manager at WBAI. It has been such a great pleasure and privilege for us all to serve you in past times, this time, and as we work at rebuilding our stations together. That is the job ahead of us all. That is the job where we must join hearts and join hands, and that means financial support, moral support, social support. It means outreach in any and every way that you can help the station get back on its feet, flourish, and become the real vision of greatness that it is capable of being, will be most, most welcome here. With us also has been Michael Haskins, our chief announcer.
Thank you, Michael.
And thank you very much, Michael. Concluding comments from our guests here as we move toward closure.
Well, we're going to have to move toward closure very, very quickly,
yeah,
please, because I'd like to get these cards in.
Yeah, just a quick word. Thanks to the listeners.
Stay strong and pay close attention.
We took back our station. Now let's get together and celebrate and continue to support Free Speech Radio. Come to a Victory Dance fundraiser at the Montclair Unitarian Church in Montclair, New Jersey at 87 Church Street off Bloomfield Avenue. When is it? Saturday, March 23rd at 7:30. Just show up and you're going to get to dance with and hear Bernard White, Amy Goodman, Dan Coughlin, Mimi Rosenberg, and other producers. How much? $20. And all proceeds will go to our station, WBAI. Sponsored by the Bergen Green Party of New Jersey, New Jersey Concerned Friends of WBAI, New Jersey Peace Action, People's Organization for Progress, the Undoing Racism Committee, and IFCO Pastors for Peace. For more information, call 201-342-9061. That's 201-342-9061. Let's dance the night away. See you there.
WBAI is having a night of music and comedy, and the Blues Company will be there. So will award-winning jazz singer Thos Shipley. And for laughs, there's comics Randy Credico, Darcy Castellero, Barry Crimmins, and Richard Corey, and the Christmas Coup Comedy Troupe. Hosting will be a bevy of formerly banned, now on-air WBAI personalities. When and where will all these talents gather? This WBAI benefit will be Saturday night, April 6th, starting at 7 p.m. We'll gather at the Ethical Culture Society Hall at 2 West 64th Street. It's $25 a person, unless you want to be a sponsor with a reserved seat for $60. For ticket information, call 212-209-2820. WBAI's Musical Comedy Get-Together, Saturday night, April 6th, at the Ethical Culture Society. Again, the number is 209-2820.
And you are tuned to listener-sponsored commercial-free community radio WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM. Coming up at 6 o'clock will be a report of the day's news with the WBAI news team. This is listener-sponsored commercial-free community radio at 99.5 FM. It's 5 p.m. Stay tuned for